there are still a few good men left, men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old, proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old, strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
This lesson, that's basically what it is, persecutions. First, I hesitated to give it. Then I decided I better give it. I hesitated to give it because there is a potential downside to it. Then upon thinking about it, I thought, well, there's an equal upside to the downside. So I decided I would talk about the subject persecution. Most tapes that I do are sent out on our Scriptures for America cassette tape ministry, and most of them come from the pulpit of the LaPorte Church of Christ, which is an independent, non-denominational little church that sits in LaPorte, Colorado. It's about 4 miles, before it is, outside of Fort Collins, Colorado, north and west towards the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. I've pastored there since the fall of 1977. It's nothing impressive. There's one stoplight. There's two bars in town, one on one corner of the stoplight called the Drinking Dog, and the other one's called the Long Branch. And there's two churches, one of which is the LaPorte Church of Christ. When I got out of Bible college in 1976, I fairly well figured out how the system worked. And I told my wife, I said, I think it'd be best if we do like Paul did, make tents and preach. Because the way the thing works is that you get in a church, you got your family to raise, and the next thing you know, you've got elders, or more like it, elderettes, telling you how to preach and how to run things. And so I worked and I preached. After about a year, I had an opportunity to go to LaPorte, Colorado. Wasn't much there, less then than now, because the church building at that time was just an old volunteer firehouse that a small handful of Christian people had purchased, and they had borrowed money to purchase it. They needed a preacher. Well, at the same time, I was offered a job with the federal government, a job that I'd had prior to going to Bible college, right there in Fort Collins, and so it all seemed to come together, and so I worked and I preached. Now, when I got there, I didn't know how in the world we'd ever get anyone invited to church because the building looked pretty rough. Then shortly thereafter, the thing caught on fire. We've had our fair share of fiery trials, if you will. That was one of the first ones. And I can remember the fire trucks being there and some of the church people crying because they just got in this building and now the flames were coming out of it. And when it was all said and done, the water was dripping and the fire trucks heading on down the road. I was walking through the building and the charred walls, started looking at things and kicking in the drywall and that type of thing. And I got to thinking, well, maybe this is not as bad as it looks. And it really wasn't. It turned out to be a real blessing because there was insurance on the building, and out of that fire, we got $15,000 worth of life insurance. Not life insurance, excuse me, fire insurance. I always told people if I knew it was going to be that much, I'd have said it sooner. I'll edit that out. No, it was a purely accident. It was, because there is no statute of limitations on arson, I don't think. What it was a floor furnace underneath the building. I have to explain all that. Anyway, as I started going through the building, we decided we would start tearing it down. And instead of having church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we would gather together, and we started hauling out all the garbage and the trash, took out off half the roof, and before you know it, with the money we had, we were able to start putting it back together again. I don't have time to go into a lot of what all took place. A lot of miracles took place. At that time, our fire had destroyed the piano we'd had in the building. And I was working in the building, getting near finishing it. Lady come driving by, pulled in, and says, what's this going to be? And I said, well, it's going to be a church. And she said, well, what kind of church is it? Is it a full gospel church? And I was ignorant. I didn't know what full gospel meant, but I thought, well, yeah, we preach the full gospel. So I said, yeah, we're full gospel. And she said, praise the Lord. She said, where's your piano? I said, well, we don't have a piano. We're just going to have to sing off the pillow. And that was it. She drove on down the road. Well, that following Monday, that was on a Saturday, and on a Monday I got a phone call from this lady who I did not know, and she said, Pastor Peters, there is a new piano waiting for you, a Austin Wade $5,000 piano, that was back 20 years ago, nearly, waiting for you at Joe Norfio's piano store on South Broadway in Denver. We had miracles like that happen all the time. Anyway, we got the building completed. Then I, as time went on, I discovered the Israel Identity message. I told some of you, if you listened to me on the tape ministry, about what happened. I started preaching it to the church. It had grown some. And then I lost most all of them. They said, we believe it, but we don't want to hear it. And so I lost all of the church except 8 people, and 4 of them were my family. So that's where we went. But they left me with the building. I think they left with the building because at that time we had 2 mortgages on the thing. And I didn't know how in the world we were possibly going to make it. We couldn't hardly pay the utilities. But God brought us through all that as well. Today, it is probably the largest church in Colorado. When you consider the Tate Ministry, which goes out to nearly every state in the Union and several foreign countries. When you consider the radio broadcasts that that church sends out, and the television broadcasts, and the printed ministry is really grown too. We had a little church, we had a little garage next to the building years ago, and we converted that into a print shop, paid $200 for a multi-lift printing press. And I've got good news to tell you. This is absolute great news. The press that we have right now, we got a whole other print shop now, but it's an old press, and the parts come from Sweden, and it broke down, and we had to get a new press. And my pressman found a big printing press that weighs 8,000 pounds, and we can get that press. Well, praise the Lord, he's supplied the funds I need, and we're going to get that press and haul that in there. So it's grown. The church is actually growing, but they look at it, it doesn't look like much. And I was thinking about this scripture in 1 Corinthians as I was preparing to give you this talk, and it certainly fits for this preacher and the church where I'm at. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One time I had a truck driver, I've had this happen several times, come pulling in on a Sunday to get baptized. They've heard us on the radio or something like that. This one truck driver said to me, he said, I know that God's calling me. He said, I just don't understand why he called me. And I said, well, I can tell you why. He said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then I read to him verse 27. Actually, starting with verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. And when I read to him that the Lord chooses the weak and the foolish, he understood. And so it is. We don't appear very strong, and yet the Heavenly Father has allowed us to receive what the Bible calls persecutions. And I say that with true spirit that he's allowed us to receive the blessings of persecutions. Maybe you don't think of persecutions in that manner. Turn over to, well, let's look at three different scriptures on the subject of persecutions. The first one in James. James chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ. Correction. Am I in 1 Peter? Yeah. No, I'm in James. Correction. Sorry about that. We'll go to heaven. Didn't think it sounded like James. Try this one. James, and a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Notice there, it says, when these trials come to test your faith, you are to do what? Count it joy. Consider it joy. If there was a motto you ought to have stamped on the front cover of your Bible, it would be this. Just do it. Just do it. Well, it works for others, does it not? When the Bible says, bless those who persecute you, don't look at it in some pious platitude that applies to somebody else. Just do it. Amen. And when the Lord says, rejoice when trials come into your life, oh, I know you don't feel like it, and we're not interested in your feelings at this point. Just do it. Amen. We've got plenty to be rejoicing about these days. Amen? Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. There it says, I started verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Now, there we see it. Peter's writing to the same people. Now turn a page or two to chapter 4. And he says to these people in verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Let's stop there a second. He said, don't be surprised when fiery ordeals come upon you. That's the way the New American Standard puts it. Tomorrow, God willing, Chris Farnham is going to sing a song about fiery trials and about the fire. But one thing that does kind of grate me a little bit is that when a man gets involved in fiery trials, and the scripture says, don't be surprised that it's happening, I hear other people through the grapevine saying, well, I'm not surprised it's happening to him. That's tough. Yeah, I know, I've got to rejoice. Bless them. Bless you. Bless you. But you see, that's what happens sometimes. Like, we have this mentality, if something bad is happening to someone, that must be because he's bad. Right? Here it says, don't be surprised when these things come upon you, as if something strange were happening to you. Read on, verse 13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So he's saying the same thing to the same people that James said. So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. So there we read, well, let's read verse 14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. And I sometimes think that our little weak and foolish-looking church has been blessed greatly. And that's the way we need to look at it. Now, we read what James said, what Peter said. Let's read about what Paul said. Ah, but before we do, we had better check out and see what Peter thinks of Paul. Over in 2 Peter, because we have this little vain, little serpent that keeps raising its ugly little vile head as if there's something wrong with the Apostle Paul. So since we have it happen ever so often, we better check and see what the Apostle Peter had to say about Paul. And this is what he said in verse 15. Let's start with verse 14. It starts the sentence of 2 Peter chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Now, how did Peter feel about Paul? A beloved brother. Paul presented himself to Peter, if you read the book of Acts, as an apostle. And Peter did not condemn him as an impostor. Now, why do some people have trouble with Paul? Read the next verse. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So some untaught, unstable people do distort Paul, even to the extent of calling him some type of a Pharisee imposter. So let's see what Paul said in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, about persecutions. We start with verse 10. But you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. So here we see Paul instructing you and I. This instruction to you and I as well as Timothy. You realize, do you not, that that's the case? That we are to pursue his teachings, his conduct, his purpose, his faith, his patience, love, perseverance. Do we have any problems there? But the sentence doesn't end there. The problem is it goes on. And the next one, you know, that's one that's a little bit harder to rejoice about. But it says, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Thus saith the Lord, through his Holy Spirit-inspired apostle Paul. Confirming exactly what Peter said and James said. Amen. If you choose to live godly, you will suffer persecution. Well, how do you get out of persecution? Just don't live God. Not that hard. And I wonder why we don't have more churches in the land, a land that is full of vile, evil, wicked sin, why we do not have more churches being persecuted. You ever wonder about that? We've had, at the LaPorte Church of Christ, persecutions. I don't have time to go into detail on some of the past ones, but if you've listened to some of my tapes in the past, you'll know about them. In 1984, we had Colonel Jack Moore come to speak to our church on a weekend meeting type thing. He spoke on a Friday night, on Saturday and Sunday. And on Monday, the headlines of the local paper there in that area, the Colorado one, as big a print as they had in the days of bombing of Pearl Harbor, it said across the front page, evangelist outrages area Jews. Now, we had Colonel Moore speak to us about the Jewish connection between communism and socialism and Judaism. He spoke about the Jewish influence in this country and their influence in the media. And there may have been some people during that meeting doubting what he had to say, but I'll tell you this, the headlines confirmed everything he said. And from that time on, that paper, owned by Gannett Publications, has tried everything it can to paint us in a certain fashion, a bad fashion, if you will. Right after that, at that time I was working for the federal government. Suddenly, I was being audited. I had more audits come into my office. I was a loan officer with the United States Department of Agriculture. I had more lending authority than practically all the bank presidents in Fort Collins, Colorado put together. It was a very responsible job. I covered several counties. I had a staff, and I operated by a set of instructions like that. It was a bureaucracy, but I'm going to tell you that when you have audit teams coming in, it's almost like there's so many rules and regulations, you're bound to be found on something, but God delivered me every time. It was amazing. I had more audit teams in 6 months than I've had in 11 years with the government. Finally, I quit because it was very obvious what they were doing to me. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I went full-time in the ministry whether I liked it or not. And I have people condemning me and accusing me of things, but I didn't see them back then when I was the head of my family, and I didn't know how I was going to make my mortgage payment and carry on and even keep the church going with a small handful, and I lost my job. But I did not compromise, and I am very confident from the articles that came out in the Colorado one that had I apologized to the Jews, it would have been all over with. I'm not apologizing to the Jews. I thank the Jews for making me what I am today. Amen. Well, let me put it this way. I praise the Heavenly Father for using them to get where I'm at today. So bring it on, Jews. Amen.
Amen.
If God be for you, who can be against you? You know, these people, they are nothing compared to our God. And I found that the printed word, it doesn't really hurt. And it gives you an air of authority when you do preach. I mean, really, when I spoke at the city council meeting back in 1988, and got up to speak and they announced it as Pastor Pete Peters, it was like, what is it, Merle Lynch speaking? Is that what they call it? Or? Huh?
People listen.
People listen, yeah, they all stopped and listened. Because here was that right-wing radical that had been talked about. Well, if you want to know about that persecution, get my two tapes called My Personal Experience with Jewish Power. In there I tell you that a few months later, Alan Berg was shot. Remember the Jewish talk show host that we've done so well without? he was shot. Well, allegedly, he was shot. They never have proved who shot him, by the way. Never have. Allegedly, though, he was shot by a couple of people, or one person, who had attended the La Porte Church Christ. When Colonel Jack Moore was there in 1984, speaking. Well, we had, we were packed out, so he may have been there. I don't know for sure. I know this. He's certainly welcome if he gets out. If you want to know about that persecution, listen to those two tapes. There's a lot more to say about that. Those of you who know my tape ministry know about a more recent persecution that took place. As a result of that little church standing up against homosexuals and calling a spade, and a queer, a queer, the state of Colorado come down on us, as well as a lot of other churches in the area writing letters to the editor how we're not very Christian. Well, that was a whole other persecution. Some of you not heard about that. You need to order some of the tapes on it. But it sort of came to a head in February 1993 when sheriff deputies armed came into our churchyard, seized our church, backed a loading van up, started emptying the contents of the church out, and put signs all around the church, seized by order of the court. Now, I don't want to be touchy, but to me that seems like a persecution. And a lot of you maybe have never seen any of the photos, so I brought some and I put them there on the board, and that's some of the photos that were taken with the sheriff deputies coming in, the loading van backing up, and on the other side, just in case somebody missed it, there's some photos of my grandchild. So God delivered us from that. Now, I noticed in that persecution that the assistant attorney general that ramrod of that thing was Maury Kanizer, a Jew, who was in contact with Saul Rosenthal, the head of the Anti-Defamation League in Denver, a Jew. That it was John Goldstein, the collection officer, who told me that unless I signed the form, that I would be fined $10 a day forever. And I said to John, does that mean my children will inherit it when I die? Well, I haven't signed the form. Now, we have on the church doors, on the front door, we have it framed, and we wear it with pride, one of the signs that they've posted there. Keep out, seized by order of the court. I figure that if we get visitors, they get past the sign, they're still willing to come in, they're serious. So, that's there. And of course, you know that the media also has taken its shots at the Little LaPorte Church of Christ. 48 Hours wanted to bring their cameras in there years ago and film. And it was the New York Times that recently wrote an article about our television program. It was called And Now the Hate Show. And then the Wall Street Journal sent a reporter there to church to do a story about us. It wasn't too long ago, I told you about this, that Connie Chung's assistant came to church. When we wouldn't return the call, she sent her assistant out from New York, and she attended services. Real pretty gal. And I had told Connie Chung that I would be on her talk show if she'd be on my TV show. And then Brother Steve Ray asked me to reconsider. He said, tell Connie you'll be on her show if she gets her assistant to marry me. So I still haven't been on her show. I turned down the Montel Williams show, Inside Edition, Geraldo Rivera, CNN, but why? Why? This little church in LaPorte, Colorado. Now that ought to be going through our minds, wouldn't you agree? Do not underestimate the power of our message. I have seen people leaving the message of identity. One of the great truths of our day. And the truth about who the Jews today are not. I've seen them leave that, and let me tell you something, that is the one that's touching a nerve, and they know that that can turn the world upside down. Colonel Moore simply had his words confirmed. Why was it that our little church and our ministry, Scriptures for America, which is an outreach ministry to the LaPorte Church of Christ, has been targeted by a UN-financed radio program out of Costa Rica? I'm honored that he would bring the United Nations against us. The United Nations helped sponsor a program called the Far Right Review. The last time I was heard, we were at the top of the list.
Hey.
We'll try. And if we get in second place, we'll try harder. Well, let me bring you to the present now. Those are all past. That's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. I told you there was a reason I'm bringing this. Louis Beam was a guest on my radio talk show, Scriptures for America, the shortwave broadcast, back in March of 1993. Since that time, Louis has brought a suit against the government. Won't go into all of it. If you want that program that I had him on my show about that night, he tells about it. You can write to us and request it. It's a shortwave program with Louis Beam on it. But in the process of his battle with the government, he ordered information through the Freedom of Information Act. And then he sent this to me, and I want to read it to you. This is from the FBI in San Antonio to the Director of FBI Priority, FBI Denver Immediate. I'm reading right from it. I don't know what these codes mean. It says BT Unclass Site 3770. Subject, Wachmer Major Case Number SOAFOB Firearms Act. This is San Antonio. Armed and Dangerous, Lead Number 215. Regarding San Antonio Teltype to FBI Headquarters and all field offices dated March 2, 1993. For the information of Denver, on March 15, 1993, it was learned that individuals barricaded in the Mount Carmel compound have been listening to a call-in radio talk show. Louis Ray Beam, a white supremacist, was a guest of the show and took calls from individuals who were supportive of Koresh and denounced the United States government. The radio talk show call-in number is 307-745-5913, which is subscribed to Scriptures for America. Those gives the address. Denver Division at Laramie, Wyoming, obtained information regarding Scriptures for America, its owners, managers, etc., determine how the show is broadcasted, i.e. time of broadcast, mode of broadcast, AM, FM, shortwave, frequency of broadcast, stations in the Waco, Texas, which subscribe to the radio talk show. Send results to the attention of, and that's blanked out, in response to this communication is to reference lead number 215. And then it's concluded by saying armed and dangerous. So, that's something that's more recent. And it's more serious than what we might realize, because I found out that the code armed and dangerous is something understood amongst law enforcement, that if someone is identified as armed and dangerous, it is known that you can shoot first and ask questions later. Well, we are armed and dangerous. When you have a system that's built upon a lie, and you're armed with the truth, you are dangerous. Well, since that time, more things have happened. About the same time, actually, this is the spring issue of the law enforcement bulletin sent out by the Anti-Defamation League. Now, that's a Jewish organization that periodically tries to send misinformation out about us. Actually, not all of this one is misinformation. It goes to all the law enforcement agencies in the United States. This is what the front of it looks like. And they devoted a whole page entitled Extremist Profile, Pastor Pete Peters. Thank you. This is what it says. It says, I'll just read portions of it. Pastor Pete Peters of the LaPorte Church of Christ in Colorado is a leading voice in the Christian identity movement who has been preaching to his small congregation of less than 100 in LaPorte since 1977. Peters, however, manages to reach a much larger audience through audio and video cassettes, pamphlets, broadcasts on shortwave radio, satellite and public access cable TV, and through semi-annual retreats around the country. Peter's ideology is based on the militant Christian identity beliefs of the late Sheldon Emery. Peter's 47 preaches that Jews pose a satanic threat to American civilization, that blacks and other people of color are inferior to whites, that homosexuals should be executed, and that Northern European whites and their American descendants are really the chosen people of biblical prophecy. I'll stop there at the quote. And I want to point out here that that's not exactly right. I do not think of blacks as being inferior to whites in all areas, because I was just told that white men can't jump. And so I'll grant that. But you know, we just as well start being honest with ourselves, don't you agree? And if the truth offends you, then tough. It's not me, Pete Peters, that says homosexuals should be executed. It's just the word of God. Isn't that what it says? Going on. Quote, Peters has emerged as one of the most popular speakers in the hate movement. Let's stop there. Quote. Notice how they went from now it's hate movement, just a subtle change, just like that. Going on. Quote, let's get this. His intensity and fervor and uncompromising views make him one of the movement's leading ideological influences. I like that one. It's not bad. You know, the ADL isn't all bad. Peters and his congregation first received national attention in 1985 when it was reported that several members of the order, the most violent far-right terrorist group of the 1980s, had attended the LaPorte Church during their criminal heyday in the early years of the decade. Subsequent investigation of the order's activities uncovered a string of firebombings, armed robberies, counterfeiting, and the execution of one of its own members, end the quote. Now imagine, notice how they do this. Let's just say that you were a Methodist preacher, and you're holding a revival, and one of these men came to the Methodist church. And he was there for an hour and left. And later joined an organization called the Order. Then would it not be hypocritical and misleading to tell the world that Order members attended so-and-so's Methodist church? And then bring Methodists into the Order? That's basically what they did here. Does that make sense? Going on. On February 13, 1984, Peters and a close ally, Colonel Jack Moore, appeared on Denver talk radio program hosted by Alan Berg, who provoked an angry confrontation with Peters and Moore over their white supremacist views. Now, I got that on tape somewhere. And I tell you something, that's not true. Alan Berg and I never had an angry confrontation. In fact, people say that he was the kindest to me that they'd ever seen. Now, he and Moore had a kind of an angry confrontation. The way it was, he hooked us up. He was in Denver. He hooked me up in Colorado and Jack Moore up in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Well, within the first 5 minutes, Jack Moore hung up on him. And this, you got to understand how green I was back then. I felt like a man in an airplane and the pilot just died. And I spent the rest of the night on the show with Alan Berg. That was kind of my first baptism of fire at talk shows. Going on, and that's all on the tape called My Personal Experience with Jewish Power. 4 months later, it says, on June 18th, 1984, Berg, who was Jewish, was murdered outside his home. Notice that? Angry confrontation with Peters on the radio talk show. A few months later, he's dead. And I ask you, do you want to argue with me? That's the way these guys are. No bother. In 1987, two members of the order were convicted on conspiracy charges in connection with the crime and were sentenced to 150 years in prison. I'll drop on down here. Like her husband, Sherry Peters presents the identity viewpoint in a Scriptures for America column entitled For Women Only and plays a visible and prominent role at Peters' semi-annual retreats. Sherry Peters is the most important woman in the identity movement today, yet her writings reveal that she merges a pervasive hostility towards traditional feminism with the racist anti-Semitic ideology of the hate movement. For example, For Women Only has referred to abortion clinics as places where women are abused and mutilated by Talmudic butchers. In the book. What's wrong with that? Pete Peters remains an outspoken leader in the identity movement. His own writings and public statements document his hostility to Jews, blacks and other minorities, and to American democracy itself. Well, that's not true. I don't give any hostility towards blacks and other minorities. I really don't. But I put the Jews and democracy. Let them both go to hell. Amen? It's just the way it is. It's not right. The Jewish influence and power in this country is not right. And my forefathers did not establish a democracy in this land. Well, that's a whole other thing. Going on, identity leaders likewise inspire fervent devotion by presenting their ministers as a ticket to salvation. I didn't know that, did you? Step right up. Get your ticket right here. It is a dangerous mix. Peter's energy and resourcefulness, his contacts in the extremist movement, and his access to technology enables him to reach a potentially sizable audience. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise God. Well, that's a form of persecution. Yes, we hear about how the poor Jewish people are persecuted, but you read the book of Acts, and you'll find it was always the Jews persecuting Christians. And it's no different today. The only difference is, back then, they understood it, and today the ministers say, God's chosen people. That's the difference. Well, then shortly thereafter, now this is March, comes April, and I receive a lovely letter from the Internal Revenue Service. And the Internal Revenue Service sends a letter to Scriptures for America. Now, I have to say this has been good for me, because I have to work on these scriptures too, rejoice. Oh, honey, look what's in the mail! No, that's a hard one. One thing I'll say is the Lord has a sense of humor. Because at first you get, at times when these things happen, you get tinges of fear. And you have to fight it back, just like anything else, right? Well, so, a few weeks back, I was at the church there, the LaPorte Church of Christ, and two IRS agents come into the yard. And the Lord does have a sense of humor. Now, I'm not being disrespectful to either one of these people. Really not. But the one man who's been very much of a gentleman to me, just a thin, scrawny guy that's an accountant type that smokes Marlboros rather heavy, and his partner was a woman with a purse. And the Lord says kind of to me, you know, the bot curves, now, Pete, are you afraid of this? Doesn't he have a sense of humor? You know, can you see me being there at a cocktail party with men like David, Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Now, who did you take on? Well, there was this woman with a purse. So we really need to get things in perspective. Even when we think we are enduring persecutions, we're not enduring persecutions, are we? I mean, we still have soft beds to sleep in. I haven't missed a meal yet since all this has happened. Nothing compared to what our forefathers went through. So it's almost embarrassing to even compare this as persecution. I'm just kind of relating what's been going on. Well, they came and first thing I said, you know, I have to wonder if this is not a designed persecution against the church. It's an ongoing thing that's been coming against us. And he assured me that it wasn't, that it was just a random thing, number come up, so forth and so on. Yeah. So I said, well, here, and here's why I ask. And I bring him out to the front door of the church, and I show him the sign that says, keep out, seize by order of the court. And I told him what had happened with the homosexuals and how they had to been sore losers and came back and brought on persecution. And then I looked at him and I said, you know, I can only hope, sir, that you are not a homosexual. I said, that's all I need right now is a homosexual IRS agent coming at me. So, he assured me he wasn't. So we go into church and we sit down and we're sitting at the table and we're talking and they're pulling out their summons and the telephone rings. So I get up and I answer the phone and it was a gentleman that I knew and I said, hey, as we were talking, I said, hey, Eric, I said, guess who I'm talking to? He said, who? I said, two IRS agents. I said, you want to talk to them? And he said, no, I don't want to talk to them. And he said, I'll let you go. And he hung up. And so I said to him, as I sat back down, they were looking at me, kind of smiling. And I said, you know, nobody wants to talk to you, do they? I said, I bet you it's hard being an IRS agent. I bet you it's hard to be an IRS agent as it is sometimes for me to be a preacher. And I told him, I said, you know, when I'm on the airplane and people ask me what I do, I just tell them I'm in communications. And he said, well, I said, I just tell him that I'm an accountant with the government. So we had a camaraderie, and, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, it must be hard to be an IRS agent, really. And I said to him, and I meant this sincerely, I said, well, the Lord loves the tax gatherer, too. Does he? You know, really, how can I condemn them for collecting taxes when it was but a few years ago I was enslaving my people with usury and making loans to them. Now, is a usurer, a person charged in usury, put that way, any worse than a tax collector? See, I was a government agent, it was worse. Yeah. So, but by the grace of God. You see what I'm saying? Let's look at some scriptures on tax collectors. I thought about this later. Matthew 18. Just show you how tough it'd be. Yeah. You know, I bet you I could get a ministry going just with IRS agents holding revivals and saying,
amen.
The Lord loves you too. In Matthew 18, as you follow the steps of discipline there, and by the way, you don't always have to follow the steps of discipline. How about a higher way sometimes? Just suffer a wrong. Amen. But that's a whole other point. Look at verse 8. Chapter 18, verse 17, it says, and if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. You know, it's the level that God puts the tax gatherer on. Another passage of scripture is in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, verse 46, there our Lord says, Sermon on the Mount, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? So he's leveling the tax gatherers. But I want to ask you something. How many of you are no better than the tax gatherers when it comes to this verse? Maybe like that. He said, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? In other words, he's saying, you learn the higher thing of love and love those that do not love you. Amen. Or if you want to be on the same level in the Lord's eyes as the tax gatherers. How about this scripture? Matthew 9. Verse 10. And it happened that as he was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with this tax with the tax gatherers and sinners? But when he heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. So what's he saying about IRS agents? You're sick. You make a living doing this? You're sick, man. That's what the scripture says? Sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And you know, I can tell you this, that God's grace was there that day. His mercy was there because I felt compassion for these people. They are sinners. So, what I did when they gave me the summons, I said, well, what do you say we have word of prayer? And he looked at me and said, I can't. And I said, that's all right, I'll just pray for us. And so we had a word of prayer. When I got done, I said, let's face it. If you're not going to pray when IRS agents come see you, when are you going to pray? Think about it. So we had our word of prayer. Now I wonder why these things have been happening. In the book of Daniel, chapter 11, well, I don't think we'll turn there because we're running out of time, but it talks about those that, you can read it yourself, chapter 11, verse 33, those who give insight to the many would be jailed, killed, imprisoned, plundered. Persecuted. So it could be that. One of the men in the church, several of the men in the church, think the purpose of this is to ultimately get me in jail. The talk show host that I've ever met, Tom Donahue, how many have heard of him? He is now in jail, and I understand he's a Christian man and he believes in identity message, but he's in jail for life, basically, with the age that he is and the years they gave him over tax issues. And another possibility is the fact that they're trying to get us as a tax-exempt organization. In other words, wanting us to become a tax-exempt organization. You see, we're not tax-exempt. Years ago, the La Porte Church of Christ, based upon Acts 13, verse 2, where it says the church in Ephesus sent Paul and Barnabas out, the church in La Porte decided we needed to reach out nationally, and they were going to be sending me out. Except today I can use technology in going out. Radio, television, printed word. And so Scriptures for America is an outreach ministry of the La Porte Church of Christ. Always has been, and it is today. And so they would like to have us become a tax-exempt organization. We've never been a tax-exempt organization. You know why? Because, and I'll probably be teaching this down the road, I have a feeling that we'll learn a lot and be teaching you a lot about churches and taxes and so forth. Because the church is not a tax-exempt organization. It's a tax-immune organization. And there's a big difference. It's tax-immune. In other words, history shows, and the IRS knows it, that the church has been immune to taxes. If they can make me into a tax-exempt organization, if they can do that, then they think they can regulate. Well, my first letter to them was, notice on the summons it says I am required or we are required to appear. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not required to do anything. But the Bible says, inasmuch as possible, be at peace with all men. Carry the load an extra mile if you have to. And so, we're looking at these things. What could be, what somebody thought in our church, that maybe the reason it's happening is because our singing has gone down. When we're having our persecution going, boy, the singing got better at the church. So, if I'd known that, I'd have gotten Mike Carter in there earlier. Why was I had to give you this message? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read with me verse 16. Paul says, quote, at my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. End of quote. I might go just a couple minutes over. But notice that when he came under persecution, people deserted him. And at first I was hesitant because I thought, you know, I bet you there'll be a bunch of people who want to desert when they hear about the IRS coming after Scriptures for America. Then I thought, that might be the downside, but the upside is so much greater. Because here's the upside. In battle, in spiritual battle today, it's no different than it was in the days of David, the fearful leader. Amen? And I got to thinking, what difference does it make? I was preaching, doing the same amount of work, actually a little less, but basically the same preaching was going on when I had eight people as versus thousands. So that would continue on. And then I got this. Perfect love casts out what? Fear. Isn't it great that God kind of tests the heart to see who loves him? We just are not the fear. Why do I bring the message to you? Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Read with me verse 19 and 20. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be ashamed in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Notice that Paul had his deliverance through what? The prayers of the saints. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that little LaPorte Church of Christ, Fort Colorado, and its preacher needs your prayers today more than we have ever needed. Will you pray for us?
Yeah.
And I'll conclude by the scripture that we kind of started with in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I pointed this out to my congregation, and I have to kind of re-point it out to myself from time to time, because I noticed in the past he's always delivered us from every other persecution. Paul said in verse 11, persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And he was delivered through prayer. So won't you pray for us? They're important.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week and hopes you will too.
Home far away, where his glory